Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. March 4, 2021. The Creator truly wants to reveal Himself to us. The revelation of the light depends only on the vessel because the light is in absolute rest. Therefore, all our work is focused on building the vessel, Kli, according to the size and quality of which the greatness and the quality of the Creator are revealed to us. Therefore, the Creator is called Come and See, Bo-Ri. The greatness of the Creator is determined by the vessel we create for His revelation. If we correct all the desires to receive created by the Creator, we achieve an infinite, that is, unlimited revelation of the Creator to the creatures. Then, after the end of correction, there are new stages of attainment, which we do not yet know about. In the meantime, we need to get together and connect so that there are no barriers left between us. The more everyone restricts their egoism and annuls themselves, the stronger the revelation of the Creator in our Kli becomes. Of course, the Creator can only reveal Himself in the Ten. Everything depends on the integration of friends, on how much we are able to connect our desires, our hearts, and not on the amount of knowledge if we bring fragments of a broken vessel so closely together that no cracks remain between them. We can reveal the filling in it, the light will no longer flow out of it like water from a cracked cup. The fulfillment depends on the strength of our unity and its character, on the depth of egoism we overcome, and on how we unite. All this determines the shape of the revelation of the Creator to us. The Creator is completely dependent on the creatures. He gives Himself to us, gives the creatures the right to determine His revelation. The Creator truly wants to reveal Himself to us, and each time secretly leads us to this. But He cannot reveal Himself to us, otherwise we would not have the Kli for His revelation, free will, our own desire for His quality of bestowal and love. That is why the Creator always acts in a hidden way, pushing us, to unite with an invisible hand, and trying to awaken us. At the same time, He remains in hiding and suffers greatly from the fact that we cannot succeed in this. This is called the suffering of the Shehinah. The Creator regrets terribly that He gave people all the necessary means and they are not using the opportunities they have received. And the Creator cannot give us, more than that. If we have not implemented the previous state yet, He cannot advance us any further. Therefore, we need to establish relations between us that are as similar to the Creator as possible. To become like the Creator is the task of man, who will thereafter be called Adam, from the word similar, Dome. Our mutual relationship determines the revelation of the Creator's quality come and see, giving Him pleasure and raising the Shehinah from the dust above our head, above our egoistic thoughts and desires. Therefore, the main task of the Congress is mutual advancement, all of us, together toward the single goal. From the World Kabbalah Convention, Discovering Life in the 10 February 26, 2021, The Greatness of the Creator in the Ten, Lesson 2. Revealing the Creator in the Ten. I must reach a state where my goal is not my friends, not the Creator, and of course not myself, but that I, my friends, and the Creator connect into one whole, and one will not exist without the other. Then I will really be correctly directed toward the revelation of the Creator in the Ten. I discover the Creator in the Ten. From the World Kabbalah Convention, Discovering Life in the 10 February 26, 2021, The Greatness of the Creator in the Ten, Lesson 2. The Ten is our spiritual capital. As time goes by, we feel a growing distance from the goal. This is not a reason for disappointment but rather the revelation of a new desire which must be felt in order to move forward. Advancement always goes from minus to plus, then from even greater minus to yet greater plus, and so on. Therefore, I need a group that is always next to me and works like a battery, a capacitor. Everything I received in the descents and ascents is invested in the group. I rise and fall, I move from one state to another, but all my work accumulates in my ten. And it is the same with each of the friends, and thanks to this, we achieve the goal. The ten is a place where we accumulate all our efforts, successes, and all questions and answers. I fall and forget everything, I do not understand anything, it is even worse than before, and this is because I passed the old state, invested it in the ten, and started a new degree from a clean slate, with an empty kli. From the World Kabbalah Convention, Discovering Life in the Ten, February 26, 2021, The Greatness of the Creator in the Ten, Lesson 2. The Creator is revealed in joy. It is written in the Book of Zohar that we can only serve the Creator in joy. The Shekhinah, the Creator, builds the place for his revelation only when man is working in this place with joyful expectation that this will happen. If a person is sad and suffers when he fights with his will to receive, it means that he still is dependent on it and has not yet risen above egoism. Rising above egoism brings a person a sense of joy, which means that he is coming closer to the revelation of the Creator. Therefore, the more joy and excitement we feel from the fact that we want to reveal the connection between us, for the sake of bestowal to each other and to the Creator, the closer we are to the quality of the Creator, to discovering the place between us, where the Creator will be revealed. The Creator is revealed in joy. This is a very important and necessary condition. There can be no such thing that a person is advancing in spirituality while he is crying bitterly. If he is crying, it means that he has not yet come out of his egoism. We should be happy that we have received the opportunity to participate in this convention. It is a special gift that the Creator allows us, to gather such a great number of people in today's pandemic-ridden world, burning and losing perspective, falling into the abyss. All previous achievements and high goals are devalued, people lose hope for the future and do not know what will happen tomorrow. It is clear to everyone that this cannot continue. And precisely now when people feel desperate, helpless, hopeless, not knowing how to get out of this pandemic, we must go forward with joy. We know what for and why everything happens, and who does it. In this way, the Creator wants to advance all of humanity toward connection. Everything that happens to humanity pushes us to connect in the most optimal, fast, and convenient way. In spirituality there is only rising and no falling, especially in our time of the last generation. Even if we are not feeling very joyful, we should always play at pretending to be joyful, trying to lift ourselves up from the current state. It does not matter what state I am in, it may be a good one, but I want to be in an even better state. This aspiration must always be present. Remember this and never forget. From the World Kabbalah Convention, Discovering Life in the 10 February 25, 2021. The Joy in the Gathering, Lesson 1. My new article on LinkedIn: Stay at Home, Grown Up, Children. According to Pew Research Center, a majority of young adults in the U.S. live with their parents for the first time since the Great Depression. In the 1960s, only 29% of young adults lived with their parents. Over the years, and especially since the outbreak of COVID-19, the number of, involuntarily, stay-at-home grown-up children has spiked to more than 52%, and rising. It may seem counterintuitive for young adults to live with their parents. After all, youngsters want their independence, they want to succeed, accomplish things, and make their mark in the world. Even if they're not great achievers, they certainly don't want their parents prying into their personal lives. So why are they moving home again, or refraining from leaving home altogether? Only if we can tap into the all-inclusive mechanism of reality, we will feel that our lives have meaning, that we know how to live them, and we will understand where they are going. There are several reasons for this, and on different levels. On the more superficial level, today we aren't as confident about how we should manage our lives or about where the world is going. Personal and national breakdowns have become more common, and our confidence in ourselves and in our future, as individuals and as a society, has plummeted. We no longer aspire to conquer the world and make our mark, to be somebody, as young people used to say. Instead, we hope to get by. Clearly, not everyone is in that state, but the statistics speak for themselves. It's happening to a lot of people. As a result, instead of taking chances and jumping headfirst into life's deep water, we merely dip our foot in it to test the temperature. Only if we're confident things will go well, we venture inside. On the deeper level, there is a sense of meaninglessness that is inching into the consciousness of young adults. It is not that today's young people don't want to enjoy life, and it is not only that they are afraid of being hurt by life's obstacles, it is also that the temptations that life offers, such as money, power, and fame, simply don't entice them anymore. They don't find the trophies of our generation appealing, yet they have no others' prizes to pursue. This is why so many of them are depressed. When you have everything you need for life, but no reason to live, you cannot help but feel miserable. Some are conscious of it, others are not, but you can see it through their frantic search for experiences that take them to the edge, such as extreme sports, hard drugs, violence, and various addictions. This sense of meaninglessness is the crux of the matter. In an era where everything is shared, where every product is manufactured and assembled in 20 different countries, an individualistic mindset is the opposite of the flow of reality, yet this is what we are attempting to utilize. It is no wonder that we can't understand life, we think in the opposite direction to the course of life. Today, in order to find satisfaction in life, we must incorporate ourselves positively in society, become contributing elements to its prosperity. The me. 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 Culture has exhausted itself, and little by little, its opposite is emerging, the we. 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 Approach. A person who is connected to society feels not only the society, but the flow of life that streams through the society. Society is just a means to connect to a much greater and deeper structure, the whole of reality. Reality, or nature, is all-inclusive. Everything within it is connected in countless ways to everything else. We need a society to start developing mutual connections, learn how to interact, and thereby start to feel the connections and interactions that permeate everything. Only if we can tap into the all-inclusive mechanism of reality, we will feel that our lives have meaning, that we know how to live them, and we will understand where they are going. My new article on LinkedIn entanglement will save us, or destroy us, but it's here to stay. I think it's fair to say that countries no longer dream of self-sufficiency. The idea that one country, however vast and however developed, can provide for all its needs by itself is not only unrealistic, but also very dangerous to any country that tries to implement it. The price such a country would pay is horrendous. At the same time, interdependence has also done a lot of harm, shifting jobs and industries from some countries to others, and depleting job opportunities in countries that suffered from job migration. This process, of growing entanglement and interdependence, is irreversible. However, if we play our cards right, we will benefit from its advantages and avoid its harms. And since our egos will continue to grow, we will have to work on our relations even harder, to keep from falling back to alienation. As a result, our relations will grow stronger and closer to the extent that our egos grow more intense. If we stick to this simple formula, we will win the war against hunger, poverty, sickness, and sadness anywhere in the world. The first, and most important point to understand is that our growing entanglement is a goal-oriented process, at the end of which we will all take care of each other and no one will need to worry about anything. To understand how this is possible, Think of our planet as the home, where all of humanity lives. There is plenty of food in our home. In fact, there is so much food that we trash half of it because we cannot eat it all. There are also enough clothes to dress everyone, enough energy to provide everyone with heating in the winter and cooling in the summer, and enough money to pay for everyone's education, healthcare, housing, and even entertainment. Nevertheless, many people in our global home are starving, many have no clean water, many are sick and have no health care, and many more lack proper education. Why? Because we do not care about each other, and because we do not care, we also do not share. In other words, the problem is not one of production, but one of distribution, which stems from our alienation. And because we treat each other like aliens, the result is competition and destruction instead of complementation and construction. Yet, there is a reason why we treat each other so appallingly. The more we evolve, the more egoistic we become. You would expect egoism to drive us apart from each other, but it actually does the opposite. Because we are growing increasingly selfish, we want to benefit from one another, use one another, enjoy not only what we have, but also the knowledge that we have more than others. Our desire to be superior to others has become our prime pleasure, and it impels us to live in societies where we can compete and defeat one another. It turns out that our egos are pushing us to live together, yet hate each other, and that atmosphere is toxic. This is why our house, planet Earth, is in such disarray. There is even worse news than the growth of our egos. They keep growing and there is no way to reverse the process. In other words, we are destined to become increasingly entangled until, eventually, unless we find a way out of the catch, we will destroy ourselves. However, as I said in the beginning, we have more cards to play than we have used so far. If we play them right, we will be victorious. The first card we need to play is awareness. So far, we have not been aware that we are so completely dominated by our own egos. We also didn't know that the ego is an ever-growing power. Now that we are aware, we know that the ego is our true enemy and we can start devising tactics to defeat it. The second card to play is to use the entanglement that our egos have created to our mutual benefit, instead of for destructive competition. Just as no country can be self-sufficient, neither can people. However, if we decide to supplement for one another what we can't provide for ourselves, we will have more than enough of everything. As said before, our house has more than we need, but it is in disarray and there are deficiencies because of our alienation from each other. Reverse alienation and you have erased deficiency. And since our egos will continue to grow, we will have to work on our relations even harder, to keep from falling back to alienation. As a result, our relations will grow stronger and closer to the extent that our egos grow more intense. If we stick to this simple formula, we will win the war against hunger, poverty, sickness, and sadness anywhere in the world. Even better, we will discover that the goal-oriented process of the growth of our entanglement has always been to bring us so close that we would not only secure everyone's needs, but truly become as one, united all over the world. If we do not succumb to our egos, we will triumph over our egos and raise humanity to new heights. If we surrender to our selfishness, we will destroy ourselves and our children will have to do the work we haven't, much more laboriously. My new article on LinkedIn: the personal price of social indifference. People today seem to care about almost nothing. We are indifferent to entire sectors of society that are suffering, unless something directly impacts us, on a personal level. We watch the news, get upset and grumble, and that's the extent of our community involvement. Why is apathy constantly on the rise? We are indifferent because we are increasingly detached from our environment. We lack a sense of belonging, even though such a feeling is as important as the oxygen we breathe. Each of us must realize that our future is inextricably bound with those of others. As the good connections between us strengthen and deepen, we will begin to feel a special power flowing through our communications network, a force that animates us, magnifies us, and gives us understanding, feeling, thought, and desire at an unprecedented level. Our integration with one another will make us feel a new reality beyond the limitations of our current individual perception. A person's basic makeup can be defined as a desire for pleasure and enjoyment, a desire for satisfaction. At each developmental stage, we enjoy different things, and this is true both throughout our individual lives and as a human species in general. Our developmental stage affects our level of social involvement or social indifference. For example, once children felt a natural tendency towards social life, today they are locked inside screens right from the start. Further, in the past people were proud of their group affiliations like professional guilds and trade unions, they found satisfaction, confidence and power in them. Today, no one has the patience to hear a word about such things and, certainly no desire to belong to any such association. In the workplace, tenure, job security, and stability are things of the past. It has become commonplace for people to have no idea whether they will even have work in a year. As a result of these and other changes in the relationship between the individual and society, contemporary man does not feel he belongs to anything. If in ancient times people needed social connections for physical survival, today we prize our independence and try to avoid social demands and commitments. We pay the taxes we must, and that is the end of the story. As human nature has continued its inner development, a person identifies less with a country or place and has become much more egoistic. As a result, society is now composed of a collection of disconnected elements that are increasingly indifferent to one another. The only place where one can perhaps see high levels of social engagement is online social platforms. On the web, people are actually very active. Despite beautiful social initiatives here and there, however, what mainly fills the virtual space is cynicism, intolerance, bickering, bullying, and abuse. What fate is this trend heading us toward? What awaits us in the coming years? The desire to enjoy will continue to develop in every individual, but at the same time, people will no longer find anything that fulfills them. The loss of good connection with society will gradually leave a person feeling like they are suffocating inside their private shell. Today's indifference will lead to tomorrow's despair. People will begin to feel that there is nothing to live for. Deep inside the heart will grow a feeling that there is nothing to fill ourselves with, no passion, no challenge, no hope. Nothing but dryness like death. In a surprise twist at the end, this existential despair will lead to a breakthrough to the next level in the evolution of individual and societal relations. The online virtual world will actually serve as a springboard to a new reality. At the point when we realize we are causing harm by the way we are currently using high tech, we will begin to use it intelligently. We will start to use social media as a tool for shaping society according to an integral worldview based on and promoting reciprocity and complementation. Instead of using it to aid the current compulsion to acquire more and more stuff and to boost material development, humanity will look for ways to use it to help forge real connections between everyone's hearts. Smart software will promote the tenet, love your neighbor as yourself, as the only formula for life that fits the connected world of the 21st century. Together we will define the next step in the development of the relationships between us, and then we will work on exercising our muscles of bestowal and support. As the good connections between us strengthen and deepen, we will begin to feel a special power flowing through our communications network, a force that animates us, magnifies us, and gives us understanding, feeling, thought, and desire at an unprecedented level. Our integration with one another will make us feel a new reality beyond the limitations of our current individual perception. In such a world, indifferent society will no longer exist, because every individual will feel that he or she receives much more through the association with others, greater fulfillment, satisfaction, and meaning, to the point of boundless joy. Science of perception of the surrounding space. Question: which Kabbalistic book was the first to fall into your hands and reveal the yearning for spirituality in you? Answer: the preface to the Wisdom of Kabbalah. This is a very complex book. I read many different books and articles. I tried to immediately delve into serious things, but was confused, and did not know how and what until I found my teacher. This happened after 3 to 4 years of independent study, during which I went through various so-called Kabbalah experts. However, when I found the teacher, I stayed with him for the rest of his life. I was his assistant, his personal disciple. And after him, I continued his activities. Question: what is the first book you would recommend in order to start studying Kabbalah? Answer: Kabbalah is a science. Therefore, it may be able to attract, but only to some extent. After all, a person must have some desire to discover the meaning of life. If someone has it, he will understand that Kabbalah answers the question of how to reveal this meaning, how to change himself, to change his life, and what internal tools he has for this. They are within the person. In general, this is the science of cognition and understanding the surrounding space. Then a person will begin to see this space in a more expanded form, actively, in interaction with everything around him. By changing his attitude to the environment, that is, by changing himself, he changes the reaction of the environment to him. From CabTV's Questions About Kabbalistic Books, October 22, 2019. Thou shalt not steal. The 8th commandment, thou shalt not steal, is the same as thou shalt not commit adultery. The only difference is that adultery belongs to the animate level and stealing to the inanimate level. That is, this is a different level of desires when you shift from one permitted state to another, from one given state to another. And when you commit adultery, you use a person himself, not the inanimate, vegetative, or animate level, but the human level. There are 4 levels of desire within a person. If thou shalt not commit adultery is the highest, human level, then thou shalt not steal is all the other levels, inanimate, vegetative, and animate. From CabTV's Spiritual States, December 26, 2019. The beginning of the dissemination of Kabbalah. Question: what motivates you to write a book? You said that you published your first book in 1983. Why did you write it? Answer: because I met many people who have asked me, what is Kabbalah? In those years, most of society did not know anything about Kabbalah at all. Therefore, I decided that people should be introduced to it and given the main provisions, the basic concepts. I called this book Basic Principles of Kabbalah in an Accessible Retelling. In my opinion, it turned out well. At least, it spread very quickly. Immediately, the American Embassy bought 300 copies of each of the first 3 books I wrote. Closer to the 90s, it became possible to publish them in Russia in the quantities of 50,000 copies. Question: is there any connection with the fact that immediately after writing these books, more students began to come to you? Answer: no. I didn't have many students at that time. When perestroika began in the Soviet Union, people began to come to Israel and discover Kabbalah. Although there had been books published about Kabbalah, the process was slow. Gradually, a Russian-speaking group was organized in parallel with the Hebrew-speaking one. Once a week, I taught at my home, where 30 to 40 people gathered. In addition, I conducted a radio program in Russian, and this also attracted newcomers in those years. Then I gave lectures in Canada, in America, although I rarely went there. At that time, there was no such need because Kabbalah had only just begun to spread. It all started closer to 2000. Question: are the books you have written now translated into many languages? Answer: yes, because I have students in all countries of the world. They are Japan, Oceania, Russia, China, India, the countries of Europe, not to mention South and North America, which I have traveled up and down, giving lectures, holding seminars and congresses. I do not know where I do not have students. Even in Africa, there are regular students. From CabTV's questions about Kabbalistic books October 22, 2019.